Well, hello, everyone. This is Lori Rubenstein, and I am your forgiveness teacher and divorce coach. And tonight, what I wanted to do, this is sort of fun for me, is I wanted to make the case for forgiveness, as though I'm arguing my own court case in defending forgiveness. I think that it's really important for people to learn about forgiveness, not so that they necessarily, like, get it done during a divorce, but so that they start thinking in that direction. When I was going through my own divorce, and I'll just sort of briefly tell you my story, I went through a situation where my husband was cheating and spending a lot of money that I didn't know about, and, you know, I was pretty devastated. It was a 10-year marriage, and we had 2 children together. And I was a divorce attorney at the time, so I knew what it meant probably better than almost anyone who hasn't worked with literally thousands of people going through a divorce, what it really meant to my children to no longer have 2 parents that are married. So I was just really furious and, you know, hurt and angry and humiliated and just all the things that everybody feels when they're going through a divorce where, you know, somebody cheated. During that time period, I would say it was a really dark time for me because I really settled into this victim mentality. You know, like, this thing was done to me. It wasn't my choice. This isn't, like, what I signed up for. You know, all those kinds of things. In addition to all of that, I had just left a really good job that had health care and vacation time and all that stuff to go into private practice for myself. And I had gone into debt to open up my new law office and to do all that. So it was pretty scary for me to realize that I'm going to somehow have to do this all on my own. So why is this important? I wanted to give you 3 key points that for me, I think was really the foundation or the basis for why I needed forgiveness, but how also I didn't know that I needed forgiveness. So as an attorney, I had this very clear black and white right-wrong thinking. You know, I felt very strongly that what he did was wrong and that wrongness should be punished in some kind of way. And in my mind, of course, that was called justice. And that's what I wanted, was justice. You know, really what I wanted was retaliation. I wanted him to hurt like I hurt. And what happens when you're going through this, as you can imagine, is everybody you know really supports you in the belief that what the other person did was wrong, and you're the victim, and they feel sorry for you, and you get all this input from people saying, you know, you're right, he's wrong. The second key point that I want to share with you in this is that being in a consistent state of retaliation, for me, ended up really keeping me angry, hurt, and disempowered. I got to stay a victim. And again, I got a lot of support from other people in my victimhood as I stayed a victim. And the third key point I want to make about this is that as a victim of his actions, I needed him to be able to heal me. I was not able to heal myself. I kept trying to talk to him and trying to find out what happened and trying to understand it and trying to make sense of it. And it was really difficult. He wasn't able to heal me or make everything okay for me. He was the wrong person to go to. You know, I needed to find it within myself, talk to a counselor, talk to a coach about it, you know, get my own help. You certainly don't go to the perpetrator looking for help and understanding. That just doesn't make sense. But when you're in victim mode, you're not necessarily doing all these things that make sense, right? The other thing that happened is it really triggered my childhood issues of abandonment, not good enough, you know, the question of what's wrong with me. And, of course, problems, adult incidents that happen to us, they very often trigger us back to things that were never healed in our childhood. That's not unusual. It actually makes pretty good sense. It also, I guess maybe I'm on number five. I thought that I just had three, but I realize now I have five. It also brought me into, I would say, an energy of being a martyr. My martyrness was, you know, I gave you the best 10 years of my life, you know. But that time when I met him, I wanted to live in Israel. And, you know, I gave up Israel for you, you know, poor me. I really played up that energy of being a martyr, being a victim. Very unattractive, I have to say. So, why forgiveness? And how does forgiveness end up changing all of that? I, at the beginning, and I would say not just the beginning, but for the first couple of years after my divorce, there was like no such thing at that time as a divorce coach. People like me didn't exist back then. Basically, what people would do is go to a counselor to be healed. And I actually did go to a counselor, and they wanted to give me medication, you know, just to make me feel better. And I didn't need medication. I needed to process what was happening. I needed a divorce coach. That's what I needed. So forgiveness did not come easy to me. I didn't understand the importance of it. I really thought that if I forgave him, that meant condoning what he did. I was very, very wrong about that. Forgiveness allowed me, though, to stop obsessing and going over that right-wrong thinking. It helped me to stop trying to resolve these issues in my head. You know, I no longer needed to really understand what happened, but it was just enough to know that it happened. It was also okay for me to stay in the belief of I didn't deserve that treatment. However, I also needed to sort of mellow out about it, right? And to say, he is fallible, I'm fallible, we're all fallible human beings, and I just needed to let go of it for my own peace of mind. If I kept trying to change the situation or understand the situation, I could never really get there. That was number one. Number two is that when you do forgive somebody, you literally take back your own power. You take it away from the person who hurt you, you know, the one that you're putting all the blame on. You take it back from them, and you put yourself in control of your own feelings. You're not dependent on that person who hurt you anymore. Number three is when the other person is no longer the, quote, wrong one, end quote, the one you spend all the time blaming, like I said earlier, guess what? You get to look at yourself. You get to take personal responsibility for your piece in the breakup of the marriage. And believe me, there is always two sides to every single breakup. Everybody has their own piece in the development of making a relationship and in the development of breaking one up. So you get to do your own personal growth work. So, you know, as long as we keep blaming someone else, we don't have to ever look at ourselves, right? It's just easy. They're bad. They're wrong. You know, you can say all these things about the other person. Well, what happens when we stop doing that? We get to take a long, hard look at ourselves and say, what inside me needs to be repaired? What inside me needs to be healed? What was my personal responsibility in this? What are my lessons? How can I change whatever it is I did before, so that I don't go into a new relationship, another relationship, doing the same thing. So I don't create the same lessons all over again. You know, it's very rare that we have friends and family that will say to us, well, what was your personal responsibility in this situation? What they'll just say is, he's just a jerk, or, you know, he'll put down the other person. This is, again, where a great divorce coach comes into play to help you to really look at yourself, take a long, hard look at yourself. So four is once you do learn to take responsibility for your actions, you become less of a victim, not just in this situation, not just in your relationships, but in all things in your life. You start to be, I would say, more grounded, more objective, looking at your life as a whole and saying, you know, what piece do I play? It's really interesting. So, like, do you remember at the beginning I mentioned that I was getting triggered to things about my childhood? So there was patterns that were developing in my childhood Like, one of those patterns was literally all men leave. It was a belief system that played out twice with my mother, and then it played out with me in my divorce. So it's that men always leave. I'm going to be abandoned. I'm not good enough. Those themes get played out over and over again. Now I get to heal it. I get to understand it. I get to say, wait, I was really super duper controlling in this relationship. I was, again, an attorney, right? So all this black and white thinking, all this right wrong stuff. I was not a good partner. I treated him much more like a mother child than as an adult. So I need to learn from that. That doesn't mean, and I want you to hear me loud and clear on this, it doesn't mean that what he did was okay. It only means that this is a piece that I need to heal so that I can have a better, healthier relationship in the future and will, in fact, attract healthier people in the future. And, in fact, I have, which is a really good thing, right? So you definitely see things with new lenses, let's say. And number five is that you really clear the path to find all the gifts in your divorce. Once you really turn around that poor me attitude, you start discovering ways to heal yourself, heal your children, grow yourself, grow your children. And interestingly, as a result of all of this, your self-esteem will literally rise because you know that you've been through something really, really hard and you've been able to handle it. And while you might not be so graceful with it, especially at the beginning, with time, with practice, as you start building your forgiveness muscles, you start practicing small ways of being in gratitude, letting things go, releasing things. You know, you start practicing knowing that everything that happens to you happens for some kind of reason. You can learn a lesson from it. One of my favorite things is the saying, "This too shall pass," because we can get so caught up in something and then the next month, it's all gone and it's over with and you're just fine. And it's a really good thing to remember. And divorce teaches us this. Divorce teaches us that we can go through the deepest, darkest, lowest valley and there's always a hilltop on the other side. So ultimately, what I'd like you to take away from this is that none of us really gets through life unscathed. We all have our trials and tribulations. And the lessons that we learn, the lessons that are taught to us in forgiveness, become part of ourselves, part of our soul's pathway. I hope you'll take some time to read the books Transcending Divorce, A Guide to Personal Growth and Transformation, and the book Forgiveness, Heal Your Past and Find the Peace You Deserve. Both of those books will really help you to get on the pathway to your healing and to become more, I'm going to say, integrated in your body, mind, and spirit when it comes to changing the view of divorce as a tragedy to seeing all the gifts that will come your way. I always wish I had a crystal ball that I can show my clients that a year from now, you're going to be just, oh, so different at the end. For more information on classes and events, please go to www.lorirubenstein.com. It's LoriRubenstein. Okay, thank you so much for listening, and I hope you have a beautiful day. Take care. Bye-bye. So I hope you enjoyed these forgiveness teachings. This is Lori Rubenstein, and for more information, you may go to www.lorirubenstein.com, or for more information on the topic of forgiveness, please purchase the book, Forgiveness, Heal Your Past, and Find the Peace You Deserve.